This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Titans are in the playoffs. They will play the Patriots Saturday evening. We'll get back to the Titans' win over the Texans on Sunday momentarily. Record-setting win for almost everybody on the offense in particular. So we'll get to that. However, the Preds played Friday and Saturday evening. Much to the chagrin of Predators fans, of course. Darren McFarland joining us here. He'll be back on the air top of the hour, 10 o'clock with today you're still at your normal time slot. I believe there's some different changes coming up as the Winter Classic approaches, Darren. But just first and foremost, your thoughts on the two-game losing streak to Pittsburgh and both goaltenders being pulled basically midway through the first period. I don't know what you make of the goaltending situation. Was that the primary issue for you on Friday and Saturday night?
Well, first off, real quick, tomorrow at the Cotton Bowl is where we'll be in the afternoon. So Jared and Jim, we're going to flop showtimes because the teams will be on the ice in the afternoon tomorrow. So our rather than sitting there at the Cotton Bowl and looking at nothing, we can sit there and do the show with both teams skating. And so we'll be on 2-6 tomorrow from Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Just a little programming note.
Yeah, and so you guys will actually be able to break down practice in real time, which is actually really cool. So.
Actually, ringside, too, which is even cooler, that the fact that the NHL has given us our broadcast booth is ringside. So that's going to be a cool perspective as well.
All right, so what happened to the goaltending then against the Penguins?
Let's get back to, unfortunately, what took place in a 48-hour period against the Penguins. As you mentioned, Friday night it happened in Nashville after that third goal in the first period with just over 5 minutes to go. Pekka was pulled in that contest. UC Saros came in and finished out the game in the Predators' 5-2 loss. So that was at home on Friday night. Then they turn around, the two teams play less than 24 hours later in Pittsburgh. And on the third goal, the power play goal by Chris Letang, it was UC Saros who started the game. He's pulled. He doesn't even make it halfway or to the midway point of the first period. And Pacarine would finish the game. And ironically, the Penguins have been in existence for 52 years. And I couldn't believe this. I mean, this stat still is mind-blowing to me. It's the first time Pittsburgh has ever done that, chased two goaltenders in a home-and-home series. The first time they've ever done that in franchise history. I can't believe in 52 years and all the success the Penguins have had, they've never chased two goalies in the first period in a home series. So, that's obviously a stat you don't want to be a part of, but unfortunately it happened. And, the first period was a nightmare. I mean, if we're just being perfectly honest, in Pittsburgh on Saturday, and the players said that, and they acknowledge that, but they did fight back and they played really well the final two periods. But to me, it was a little disheartening because of the way that Friday night, played out and the way Pittsburgh jumped on them early in Nashville and just kept the foot on the gas and skated away with a pretty easy 5-2 victory. You would think a quick turnaround, an opportunity to erase that game immediately, and the success they've been having on the road, that especially in the first period, you would expect a different start, and it was just not what they signed up for. I mean, they gave up two goals in 65 seconds. I mean, it was just an unacceptable first period. They dug themselves a hole. They came all the way back and tied it up with Mikael Granlund. And so, I mean, it's 4-4. There's a little bit of a controversy at the end, but in the end, they get no points. And they lose 6-4. There's an empty netter at the end. But they give up a late goal, and they come away with nothing. So in back-to-back games against Pittsburgh, they come away with 0 points. So it was a, it was obviously not the way they wanted to play. It's not good. It's not the way you want to go into the Winter Classic. But, you know, Winter Classic is going to be game 39, I think, off the top of my head. You know, it's game 39, so they're not yet quite to the midway point of their regular season. But as you guys know, we've sat here on these Mondays at 9 o'clock, and we've talked about some of the things that have transpired in the first 3 months of the season. And some of those things still persist. So they'll have to correct that in the second half of the season.
Yeah, they're going to have to. And obviously we know that they're having a lot of problems inside the net with this team. One guy that's playing well, Roman Josi. Norris Trophy, you can see him as a finalist and potentially winning it. This team has improved in the power play, but, you know, incremental improvement, but improvement nonetheless. How do they get this thing fixed? Because one thing I said about this Pred team, even after the 7-game losing streak, I said they have no identity. You don't know, are they a scoring team or a defensive team? They were a scoring team at first, and then they switched to they concentrated more on the defense. It seems like they just can't do both at the same time. It's like, is either feast or famine with this team in regards to either we're scoring points or we're stopping people?
Derek, I think that's a pretty fair analogy. I really do. And the word that comes to mind when you ask that question was commitment. And I would think somebody who spent 15 years in the NFL would understand the word commitment and what it takes, what you have to do week in and week out at the highest level, playing against the best in the world at your sport. It takes commitment. And it takes commitment from an entire room. And, you know, quite honestly, they keep talking about it. And, you know, I'll give Paul Skrbina from the Tennesseans some credit for asking these questions after the game on Saturday. Is they're saying all the right things, right? We've talked about it. I mean, Peter Laviolette has talked about how they're an honest group. I mean, I'm around them all the time. Everybody believes that. I mean, they are. They're a very honest group. They're not in denial about anything. But he asked, you know, when Roman Josi talked about their start again, and he said, you know, are you guys tired of kind of saying the same thing a lot the first half of the season? And Roman stopped for a minute and he said, yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, we are. We are kind of tired of saying the same thing because it's about starts. It's about falling behind. You have to love the effort and coming back because they've done that a lot this year. But you know this. I mean, you can't at this level. You can't constantly, no matter how talented you are, you can't always play from behind and, you know, make these miracle comebacks. And you just can't. You're just playing with fire. You're going to get burned more times than not. It's like in Ottawa. They did the same thing. They're down 4-1. They come back. They lose in overtime. They get a point. It feels much better than where it stood when it was 4-1. And if that would have been the final, it would have been a totally different feeling. But they came back. They battled back in the third period, and they came away with a point. But if that's your recipe for an entire year, you're just not going to like this is still something from Peter Laviolette. You're just not going to like the results you get, and it just takes commitment. There's too many bodies in front. This league, you have to work. You have to put in what it takes. I mean, look at some of the goals Pittsburgh had. I mean, just right there in the slot, the bodies surrounded by Predators players, and they're still scoring. I mean, that just can't happen at this level. There needs to be, you know, like I said, the word is commitment. They're more than talented, good enough to be right there at the top and compete with anybody night in and night out. But you know this, if you don't do that, you'll get exposed. We've talked about it right on these Mondays. It doesn't matter who you show up and play against in the NHL. If you're not ready to play, more times than not, you're going to lose. Sometimes really good teams get away with it. But over the course of an 82-game season, it's going to bite you in the butt more than you're going to come out on the winning end. So to me, it's just about, you know, showing up night in and night out. And if they do that, I think everything is going to be fine the second half of the season. But right now they haven't shown that they can do that on a consistent basis.
Darren, always a pleasure, my friend. Good to talk to you. Enjoy Dallas. And, you know, there's no better place to get Winter Classic coverage. And I think a good recipe for Preds fans that are struggling right now on an 11th place team is, hey, let's celebrate a spectacle. Let's celebrate hockey in Dallas and Nashville, and let's see 20,000 people show up from Nashville, more than any other Winter Classic in the history of the event is expected to be there. So it should be one hell of an event, and you can tell everybody a little bit about where you guys, where they can hear you over the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It really is. I mean, to to watch a hockey game in a football stadium with 90,000 people or close to it, I mean, it's going to be quite the spectacle. Everybody, I mean, there's so many Predators fans, so many people from Nashville that are headed that way today, or they're already headed that way. It is going to be a sight to see. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great way to ring in the new year. And speaking of that, I'll end with this. Happy New Year to you guys. Be safe back here, and I'll talk to you when I get back.
Same to
you,
bro.
You too, buddy. Darren McFarlane there, host of Darren Donick and Chase. A programming note for tomorrow, going to be a little different, but they will actually be able to give you rinkside analysis of practice as it's ongoing live on New Year's Eve. So that'll be really cool tomorrow. And then, of course, we got all your coverage on New Year's Day leading up to the Winter Classic, which starts at 1 o'clock, of course, Dallas and Nashville on January 1st. Should be a ton of fun. And I think it is it's a healthy moment for Preds fans to sort of wash away what it is they're feeling right now, which is all these questions about the future.
Win.
See, I don't think it is. I don't care. I actually don't care. The 2 points are important in the grand scheme of things, but like, this is a bigger moment for your organization and for your fandom. And I just think it's win or lose, you just soak it all in. Just be present. I know this sounds really cheesy. Mm-hmm. Be present and enjoy the moment, because you just don't get to see this very often. And he said, 85,000, 90,000 people at a football stadium watching a hockey game with your team. Just enjoy that for what it is.
Yeah, I understand that.
You don't walk away a loser as long as you go into it with that expectation. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I think where the Predators sit, they got to get points. If they walk away
be all serious.
Without getting any points, then, you know, yes, it was great for the fans to make the trip. Yes, it was great to watch a hockey game in a football stadium. Yes, your team, it's your team. Everything went well up until the point they dropped the puck. If you don't come out of here with a point or two, then, you know, it's going to be disappointing for the Predators. And now, I can see if they were going into this game and they were, you know, in third place. Then you say, okay, it doesn't really matter. But they're out of the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
No, they did not play good hockey, at least in the first period in particular, against the Penguins on Friday or Saturday night, which has been a major problem for this team all season long, and the goaltending is starting to be a bigger issue than I think people realize. So I'm not sure what the answer is there. We shall see. Titans win, and they are in the playoffs. What do we make of the matchup? Did they get lucky that they're going to New England, or is it unfortunate that they're not playing Kansas City? Which one is it? We'll discuss when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Munson taking shot at Tennessee basketball here. Is that what he's doing? Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. You playing the Wisconsin theme song after Wisconsin went into Thompson Bowling Arena and abused the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday?
Tennessee drops another one, right?
Well, Lamonte Turner, without him, that team's in trouble.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Wisconsin's also not a bad team. So just another thing that happened this weekend.
Big
Tennessee Volunteers got run on Saturday. That is
Big
for
Ten
sure.
School, man.
All right, settle down, dude. What happened to the Big Ten on Saturday night?
It don't matter.
Are you going to complain about the officials too?
I'm not an Ohio State fan. So.
I was going to say.
I like Wisconsin. Though.
Michigan State.
I like
ball game.
Mark D'Antonio did come to
Spartans won.
Mark D'Antonio did come to Michigan State from Ohio State through Cincinnati.
But my Spartans won. That's all that matters.
All right. Titans won there in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The question I have is, as this was unfolding yesterday, they dominate the Texans, as to be expected. I don't think you can take anything from that game. Mm-hmm. The Texans didn't play anybody. The specifics of how well they ran the ball with Derrick Henry or defensively or whatever, like, you're playing against A.J. McCarron. How do you know? Hard to evaluate. So you don't really take anything out of that other than you needed to take care of business, and you did. You accomplished some cool offensive records, some really remarkable offensive records along the way. But my question is as the day was unfolding prior to kickoff, I found myself putting myself in the shoes of Titans fans saying, if I was a diehard Titan fan, who do I want to play? And I kept coming back to, I don't want to try to stop Patrick Mahomes right now.
Mm-mm.
Not with this secondary, the way it's banged up and the way he's been playing. I think you tempted fate by beating them a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago at Nissan Stadium. I don't think you could go do play that game again. I think I'd rather play New England. Sure enough, New England loses to Miami yesterday. Kansas City beats the Chargers, so Kansas City gets the bye. And now the Titans travel to New England on Saturday night, 7:15, kickoff for the wild card. I actually think it's a better matchup for this particular team. Certainly the Patriots are better on defense than the Chiefs, but they are far worse on offense. I know Brady's the GOAT. I know Belichick's the GOAT. I know it's New England and Gillette and Foxborough and blah, 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 blah. I get all of that. I still think the game lower scoring, more defensive game plan, running the football, 30-degree temperatures is what it's supposed to be at night on Saturday night, although a kind of clear day in New England, supposedly, from a weather standpoint. I think it's a better matchup, Derek. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. If you look at the problems that New England poses compared to what Kansas City would have presented, they're far different. I think if you're playing against a Kansas City team, they are playing well on defense now, and their offense is high-powered. I don't know if you could go down to Arrowhead and beat that team the way they're playing now, because your defense is not the same defense that played Kansas City earlier in the season when you beat them. Your defense is beat up, meaning the Tennessee Titans. Your defense, you've lost some guys. You lost two of your better corners. So it would pose a big problem for you. Well, on the flip side, New England's offense is not what it used to be. And they gotta generate ways, other ways to score. You know, offensive linemen, trick plays. They got to do all this stuff to try to put the ball in the end zone. Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but his numbers are not the same. His efficiency is not the same. His touchdown, his touchdown total this year is probably the lowest he's had in the last 10 years. Edelman doesn't scare anybody. But when you have a Gronk and an Edelman and someone else outside, now Edelman becomes that scary player, because you got to put all this attention toward Gronk and somebody else that, you know, Edelman just kills you, you know, with these, you know, 8, 9, 10 yard catches, and he moves the ball. He's a tough player, a really tough player. I like him. But he's not going to scare anyone. On the flip side, their defense is playing well, but they hadn't played well the last few games. Uncharacteristically, they've given up a lot of pass touchdowns, the New England Patriots have. Yeah. And I don't know why, but they have. So maybe, just maybe, there's a chink in the armor in regards to their pass defense, because before then, I mean, they ended the season with the best defense in National Football League, the best scoring defense at least. But you saw toward the end of the season, some teams were able to get some big chunks on them. They were able to throw the ball in the end zone, whereas before you couldn't. That was a shutdown secondary. So there may be some chinks in the armor in regards to their pass defense, New England's. But I think you can walk into Gillette Stadium feeling confident. It's not like this is the big, bad New England Patriots of a year or 2 years ago. They're no longer that team. Yes, they are the Patriots, and yes, Bill Belichick can pull something from 20 years ago and it works and it's relevant today and it'll beat you, but you don't walk in. It's not like I'm walking in a ring to a 25-year-old Mike Tyson. I'm walking into a ring to a 40-year-old Mike Tyson. He doesn't seem as scary.
Yeah, and that's weird to say, considering the success the Titans have had against Kansas City, both in the playoffs 2 years ago and this year, and the lack of success against the Patriots in the postseason. The last time they went up there, I didn't think they had a chance. And they didn't really in that game, frankly. Now, that was a better Patriots offense, right? Gronkowski.
You remember we were discussing this about 2 weeks ago. Other than the Baltimore Ravens, who do you think the Titans could beat?
Who scares you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the Ravens.
Yeah, it was just the Ravens.
Now, I think the Chiefs.
Kansas City have
come along a little bit. Their offense is clicking on all cylinders. The defense is getting a little bit healthier and better. Again, now they're at home. They get an extra bye. To me, it's about the style of play that this New England game could be. If this game is going to be 24-21, I trust the Titans offense to have the ability, even against a great defense, to get to 21-24 points. There's still pressure on this Titans offense and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry no matter what they do, because the defense is not healthy right now. But to me, the pressure is greater when you're going to Kansas City and trying to stop that offense. With this Titans defense, you're going to be asking the Titans offense to probably score in the 40s at that point. And I don't know if that's a fair request of the Titans offense. Hey, you're going to have to get to 42 to beat this team. They need 35.
Yeah.
And they held them to 6 field goals. and blocked one to win the game. You're not going to get that again, I don't think. And I think that's tempting fate a little bit, whereas I think this Patriots team wants to play it a little bit more low scoring. They want to run the football in the postseason, which is what they've done the last few years. It doesn't mean it's not going to be incredibly difficult. Belichick and Belichick and Brady are the greatest of all time for a reason. From a coach quarterback combo standpoint, we know all of that. This is the playoffs, though, folks. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what you sign up for, man. Like, you didn't win your division, so you're on the road as a wild card team. Guess what? It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for Seattle to go on the road, even though they're playing Philly.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for, you know, Minnesota on the road against New Orleans. It's going to be hard for Buffalo to go on the road against Houston. All these games are hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to step up your game a little bit. I just think the matchup actually sets up better for the Titans than had they gone to Kansas City, which I realize sort of sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But you agree with me, so I'm not that crazy.
No. Yeah.
I feel better.
Yeah.
National championship game is set. What took place on Saturday night? And what do we expect to see in the national title as LSU and Clemson will square off in a couple of weeks? We'll react to what we saw on Saturday. Joe Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence. Who you got? We'll discuss right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Bowl fans. Jaron the GM has your tickets to a classy alternative black and gold masquerade party at Woolworth and Fifth this New Year's Eve. That's tomorrow night. You may see Derek Mason there. I don't
know. Black and gold, black and gold, black and gold.
Your tickets include live music, your first two drinks, which is all Derek needs, frankly,
yeah,
and
I'm
food
just
all
a
night long.
Guy.
Listen in later today between 2 and 6 p.m. today for your chance to win. For more information at WoolworthOnFifth.com. It depends on the strength of the drink, the caliber.
Yeah.
I normally only need two, but if you're pouring two or three fingers,
yeah,
you definitely don't need a third one. If you're drinking martinis, you don't need a third one.
Yes.
The second one's almost too much. Mm-hmm. All right, so real quickly here, I know obviously the Titans have been the topic today as they win. They beat the Texans 35-14. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill sets every franchise record from an efficiency standpoint, passing the football, quarterback rating, completion percentage, yards per attempt, led the NFL in yards per attempt, and quarterback rating, the first quarterback to do that since Matt Ryan in 2016. He also was over 9 yards of completion and over 70% completion rate. Yards per attempt. Both of those, no one has done that since Joe Montana in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
So Ryan Tannehill, unbelievable story as he leads this team to the playoffs. Derrick Henry carries this team to the playoffs. A.J. Brown goes over 1,000 yards, first rookie receiver in franchise history to do that since Ernest Givens in 1986. And, of course, Derrick Henry passed Derek Mason for total touchdowns in a career by a Tennessee Titan.
Boom.
You went from third to fourth, Derek, yesterday.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was Derrick Henry. So.
I think you've done okay with yourself.
Yeah. I've done pretty well.
I think you're all right. College football playoff. Joe, the only person that's better than Ryan Tannehill and all these other people, Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow is on another planet right now. 8 total touchdowns for LSU in a 63-21 win over Oklahoma. Clemson and Ohio State a little bit more controversial. Just stepping back from all the controversy, I know I've addressed that. And go back and listen to the start of the 8 o'clock hour if you need some ammunition for Ohio State fans today to tell them to shut up about the conspiracy theories because it doesn't make any sense. It's illogical and irrational. I will say this. It was a great football game.
Yes, it was.
We expected it to be a good game. It was drama. The momentum swings were huge. I thoroughly enjoyed Clemson and Ohio State on Saturday night.
I don't understand why you would have. I mean, I know our Ohio State fans were disappointed. But, I mean, hey, listen, you had an opportunity to win the game at the end. Miscommunication between the receiver and the quarterback. And it becomes an interception by the Clemson Tigers. But it was far better than the first game. Believe me, the first game was just a track meet, and the only person running was LSU. I don't think Oklahoma even got off the finish line, any starting line, I mean. But then the second game was everything that we thought it would be. You have two really good teams going head-to-head in this situation, and they went back and forth, back and forth. Ohio State had the lead at half. Clemson came out, and they put together some drives and ultimately won the game. I know there was a controversial play in there where it would have, you know, had it been called the right way, it would have been a touchdown for Ohio State, which would have given them 21 points, I believe, at the time. But it wasn't called. and frankly, it was a missed call. But, I mean, you still had opportunities. But we just saw two really good teams. That would have been a great, you know, championship game because it was close, back and forth.
Right.
You know, it would have been a great championship game, but it wasn't. The championship game is played in a couple of weeks. So, you know, I get it.
A lot of time off.
Yeah,
too.
I get it.
2 weeks
Ohio State
today.
Fans would be mad. And I do believe, I do believe that the better team was Ohio State. But just because you're the better team doesn't mean you're going to win every time. And they made just
mistakes.
Enough mistakes yeah. that Clemson was able to capitalize on it and win.
And the targeting call, I'm sorry, was called correctly.
I mean, yeah, it was.
We can debate the rule and say, hey, maybe there should be two tiers of penalty.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have been ejected. Wade was a really good, important player on that mm-hmm. defense, and he didn't play. It was 16-0, Ohio State at the time, and it was they were getting off the field on a sack on third down. It would have been a punt, and they would have gotten the ball back up 16-0. Instead, Clemson goes down the field and scores and make it 16-7. It did mm-hmm. change the game, but it was the right call. We can debate the rule, but they mm-hmm. executed the rule call
yeah.
properly. When you lower your head and hit a player, I'm sorry, it's the way they've called it in college football for years now, and I'm not sure why people were outraged about that call or why they think it's controversial. We can debate the rule and say, hey, maybe in the offseason we should change the targeting mm-hmm. rule or maybe tweak it or whatever, but you can't change the rule in the middle of the football game.
Yeah.
The catch rule, right? Like, mm-hmm. thank God Zach Ertz took an extra step before diving into the end zone
yeah.
in the Super Bowl, right? Because mm-hmm. that was before the rule change.
Exactly.
And so the rule then got changed because we were outraged about it. So, again, Buckeyes fans, you don't really have anything to play. Also, you had the lead 3 minutes to go, and you had Clemson inside their own 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? You give up a 94-yard drive and four plays.
Yeah, so you can't blame anybody but yourself.
And Trevor, and I was wondering this because they had so many design runs for Trevor Lawrence
mm-hmm.
that they were running him, you know, to the edge all the entire game, right at Chase Young sometimes. And I was like, what are they setting up? What are they setting up? What is this play setting up later in the game? And you know what was setting up? The Tebow run action jump pass to mm-hmm. Travis Etienne that ended up winning them the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept questioning the offense for Clemson, like, what are they setting up? And then, because they weren't picking up too many yards, but then he breaks off a 70-yard run and changes the game with that play. And then on the final drive, he does that little fake quarterback draw where he stops and does the whole Tebow thing, and sure enough, Travis Etienne runs it into the end zone from like 35 out, and it turns out to be the game winner. Also, you had the ball, if you're Ohio State, inside the 30-yard line like six times.
Yeah.
And you came away with two touchdowns. The last one was an interception. You made mistakes. The other team didn't. You lost. Great, great football game. Clemson and LSU, hopefully it's another great football game in 2 weeks.
Well, when you have two turnovers, they had two interceptions. I mean, and the other team has none. The quarterback is stingy with the football. Then a game so closely contested like that, then it comes down to who make the most mistakes. And, you know, turning the ball over twice is not going to help you. Because if you look at what they were able to do, just their marquee players, they were able to hold Travis Etienne to under 40 yards.
Rushing, yeah.
Yeah, rushing.
He was great receiver.
They were able to hold, you know, Amari Rodgers and T. Higgins to under 40 yards. Amari Rodgers only had one catch. So Ross had six catches, but he had like 50 yards, if that.
No, it was Trevor Lawrence.
They did what they were supposed to do. They stopped their outside threats. They kept contained Travis Etienne from the backfield, meaning running the football.
Trevor Lawrence was beating around
Trevor
like
Lawrence,
I haven't seen all season.
Yeah. But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence didn't turn the ball over, and he made a few big plays, and that's what happens. On the flip side, J.K. Dobbins, he had 100-and-some yards.
Got hurt.
I understand that. But Justin Fields played a good game minus those two turnovers. He had played an excellent game.
But
he turned the ball over twice.
How many interceptions did he have the entire year?
What, one or two?
One.
And he threw two. In the game.
And one ended the game.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Trevor Lawrence took a beating, too. I give a lot of credit to Ohio State's defensive line. They got a lot of pressure on him. But he just kept popping right back up. I thought on that the targeting call. I thought he was out. I thought collarbone, something serious was happening, and sure enough, he popped right back up. Went back in the game and scored a touchdown.
So Ohio State fans, I mean, just you can't. Yes, you can be upset at the officials for that particular play, but you were up. Yes, you can be upset with them, but be upset with yourself too.
Yeah.
Y'all turned the ball over twice.
And Clemson dropped a pick six in the first half, where Justin Fields threw it right to the safety's gut, and he would have gone 35 or 40 yards into the end zone and scored an easy pick six touchdown and just dropped it. And that was another mistake by Fields that he got away with. Mm-hmm. And so you can point to a lot of plays in a game. Again, if you're going to get inside your opponent's 30 and 40 yard line that many times, you can't kick field goals. They could have put the game away early, and they were held to field goals. Clemson's red zone defense did the job, and then Trevor Lawrence, 250 yards, couple of touchdowns, over 100 yards rushing. He was the man, and now he's going head-to-head with Joe Burrow. You got the best quarterback in all of college football right now versus one of the best prospects we've ever seen, Tigers versus Tigers, Clemson and LSU. Outside of, competing for the phrase Death Valley, I don't know if we can put that officially on the line, but I think the loser should have to stop calling their stadium Death Valley. Until they play again, they're both Death Valley. You got to pick one of them can be Death Valley. Both
a Siberian
of them,
tiger.
Both
and
of them
a,
can't be Death Valley.
And a Bengal tiger.
Are you 100% positive on that?
Siberian.
Are you sure it's Siberian and Bengal?
Yeah, I'm positive.
You're positive.
I'm positive. 100% positive.
Why do I not believe you?
100% positive.
Okay. Well,
there's a Chinese. Is it a Chinese tiger?
I'm gonna look up
the Malaysian tiger. There's quite a few.
I mean,
tigers.
I watched Planet Earth a lot too, yeah. Derek. But
there's quite a few tigers.
I'm a big Nat Geo guy.
Yeah, me too. I love Nat Geo.
Marquise, does he make any sense right now?
No, there is.
I mean, he's believable.
I know
believable.
About the Siberian tiger and the Bengal tiger. I just don't know if those are actually what
actual
Clemson
tiger.
And LSU claim.
No, no, I don't. No, no,
oh,
no,
I thought
yeah,
you were saying
yeah.
that's actually.
I'm not, yeah, I'm not saying
the
that's what they claim.
The
yeah, I'm saying that's what I am saying
oh,
about those
gotcha.
Two. Yeah, which one is
a Siberian every
yeah.
time?
Yeah,
you can so. Take you can
yeah,
take
yeah,
the jungle.
That's
tiger.
A Siberian tiger.
You take the well, the Bengal tiger would definitely be from LSU because they live in jungles, I believe.
Yeah,
and it's very swampy and marshy. That would be LSU.
The Siberian
I would
tiger
assume
would
the Siberian
be,
tiger would
Clemson.
Be South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just wasted 2 minutes. We're never going to get back again.
Who cares?
All right, big finish when we come back. Titans are in the playoffs. LSU and Clemson are playing for the national championship game, and the Preds lose twice to Pittsburgh. Let's rewind it back, Marquise. Oh, big hugs, tiny kisses, Nashville. That's right. The puppies, the babies are going to the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans go down to Houston and handle their business. Welcome to the show, Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson hanging out on a Monday. But the story is that this is a truly unprecedented offensive showcase over a 10-game stretch by a backup quarterback who takes over an offense that was 2-4 and leads them to the postseason. Derrick Henry is in the same exact boat. They did exactly what they were supposed to do yesterday. Houston didn't play their guys, so who cares about them? But they are in the playoffs and playing for the second time in 3 years on Wild Card Weekend.
Hell, all of this is because of one man. And that's Derrick
Arthur
Henry.
Arthur Smith. Oh,
God. No, that's Derrick Henry. This is one man. This is a one man show. This train rolls and it stops with Derrick Henry. If he continues to run like this, it's going to be hard for teams to beat them. So kudos to Derrick Henry because this guy is just, he's a beast, man. People were wondering, would he translate to the NFL? Did he get too many runs in Alabama? And it started off a little shaky as far as, him figuring things out. It's not like he wasn't a good runner. He still was averaging over 4 yards a carry, but somehow, some way, he figured it out, man. And now he is the best runner. Again, he is the best runner in the National Football League, hands down.
I don't think you're going to know this because I had to dig pretty deep to find this one.
If you had to dig deep, then no, I don't know.
Do you know how many total touchdowns you scored in a Tennessee Titans uniform? Like your whole career as a Titan?
30-something, I don't know.
Pretty close. 40 touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
40 touchdowns, which was third all-time by a Tennessee Titan. You can guess who was ahead of you.
Yeah.
Eddie George and Chris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They were ahead of you. You were third all-time. No longer, my friend.
No longer.
Derrick Henry needed 3 touchdowns to pass Derek Mason for third all-time in career touchdowns scored by a Tennessee Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now fourth, my friend. How does that feel? Derrick Henry now has 41 touchdowns.
It felt like it did yesterday. I didn't know. And I'm going to soon forget it. If you ask me this question again next year, I'm going to be like, I don't know.
Corey Curtis from News 2.
They are the Patriots.
so don't get me wrong. But there's a reason they lost to the Dolphins yesterday. There's a reason, and it's because they're not the team that they were. They may somehow still go on to win the Super Bowl. I don't see it happening, but I like this matchup a lot for the Titans. What are the Patriots, like a 6.5-point favorite or something like that? I would scoop up those points in a heartbeat.
Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown are just playing football. That touchdown play, that was really a broken play, an extended play.
And a garbage tackle. Yeah,
oh, man. That was just like, seriously, Roby, seriously, what were you trying to do? One of those plays, if I am a head coach, I'm pulling a guy out.
He didn't even try.
I'm pulling a guy out. Because even though we don't have to win this game, you have to give effort. And that was not, again, but you didn't even try.
Yeah,
that was like Munson trying to tackle A.J. Brown.
Oh, I think Munson would have done a better job.
Nope.
Then what Bradley Roby did on that play? Yeah, I think Munson would have.
I mean, come on, man. Don't discredit the kid now.
He may have shed you like a small bug, but you would have at least tried to wrap him up. And Bradley Roby just
he would have drugged me just a few yards. That's about it. But
hey, just hold on until somebody else comes. That's all you got to do.
You'd be like Jeff Van Gundy. Just grab the
ankle. My hands would have been on the Nikes for sure, though.
This is a week where going against arguably the best corner in the National Football League, because he's going to be on you wherever you go.
He might be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore.
He's going to be wherever you go. If you go in the bathroom, he's going to be outside the stall waiting on you. If you go get a hot dog, he's going to be right behind you. He might even be serving you the hot dog.
What
AJ
about the
Brown.
Medical tent?
Yeah, if you go in the medical tent, he's going to be in the medical tent as well. He might be examining you.
No, doctor, he can come in. He's allowed.
Everywhere you go, A.J. Brown, Stephon Gilmore is going to be there with you.
I believe our station vehicle just hit the road.
Yeah.
So that's a long drive out to Dallas.
On the road again.
But you got to get the, you got to get that logo.
Can't wait to get on the road again.
Marquise and I are looking at each other like, what just happened?
I know who that is, but I didn't know what you just did.
Come on, I can't wait to get on the road again.
Thank you, Willie. Darren McFarlane joining us.
Back-to-back games against Pittsburgh, they come away with 0 points. So it was it was obviously not the way they wanted to play. It's not good. It's not the way you want to go into the Winter Classic. But, the Winter Classic is going to be game 39, I think, off the top of my head. It's game 39, so they're not yet quite to the midway point of their regular season. But as you guys know, we've sat here on these Mondays at 9 o'clock, and we've talked about some of the things that have transpired in the first 3 months of the season, and some of those things still persist. So they'll have to correct that in the second half of the season.
I have come to realize that I don't watch movies often because I don't know any of these movies that are on this list. There's probably three that I've heard of.
This is not a knock on you, Munson. I just think Barack Obama is probably a little bit more cultured than every other human being on the planet, by and large.
This is true. Because like he was watching Ford and Ferrari, which I've heard of that. The Irishman, which I heard of it. There's a movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Like, I thought there was plenty of black people in San Francisco.
I want to see that.
They are getting pushed out.
I want to see that.
Yeah, they just take them to Oakland. That's all.
No can do. I can't go for that. Can't go for that.
This song had nothing to do with our conversation during the commercial break, by the way. Munson's spinning the hits there.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Jeez
Louise. They got much play in the Mason household. So, they say no more.
You got to hit the high note. Come on.
I'll do anything that you want me to do. Yeah.
It's a party here in the studio. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, just people everywhere.
Everyone from a two-man show to a four-man show.
It's a party.
Or a three-man show to a five-man show.
I know you're busy. I know you just got off a plane, and you're back in town, and you got a lot of work to do. Which of all the records that took place with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, like, I find the Tannehill numbers to be the most unprecedented and most unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So I find those numbers, Derrick Henry leading the NFL in rushing is not really that surprising. Like, I think he's good enough to do that. The Tannehill numbers are just shocking to me. So which of all the numbers yesterday really stood out to you?
Listen, man. I'm going with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm. Attaboy.
And just the fact, everything that this dude has done this year showed in two plays. It was the touchdown he had, the 51-yarder, bounced off of the tackle. Corey Davis
downfield
block. Tackle attempt.
You call that a tackle?
Tackle attempt. You know.
Look like that Jerome Bettis commercial. Hey, I got your flag, man.
It's an attempt. But I think when you look at that 47-yard reception, and I asked him afterwards, I said, yo, you're out there doing this kind of stuff. Are you in the zone? And he said yes. It's very clear he's in. He didn't even remember what happened. He just said, next thing you know, he caught the ball. He didn't realize that he had the toe drag or anything like that. Mike Vrabel said he was expecting him to just try to get draw a face guarding call or something like that. Had no idea he would catch it. But what I'm saying is four receptions of 50 yards or more.
Touchdown.
For a touchdown. Yeah.
By a rookie.
When you put yourself in the same sentence as Randy Moss, look, man, that's doing something.
I told y'all, Anquan Boldin, the night he got drafted. Dude's legit, man.
I think he's more explosive than Anquan Boldin.
You might be right about that.
And Anquan was a dope receiver. So.
He's a stud. Teron, you're a stud, my friend. And you get another day. You get another week of work. For Derek Mason, my name's Braden Gall. Marquise Munson producing. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bailey DJ Nashville. Stay safe and I love you.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.